O Primaveração de Porto na RUM. Sexta-feira, dia 7, ao longo do dia, escuta histórias e peripécias deste incrível festival. Acompanha tudo na RUM, em 97.5, rum.pt e redes sociais.
Thank you so much for talking to RUM. So, Amama, as an homage to your grandmother, Lila, I begin to ask how much of your families and infancies influence the words in music and in what way throughout the years?
Yeah, I think throughout the years, like, family makes its way, has kind of made its way in various forms into our music, but this album specifically, it kind of became like a centerpiece with the name, which means grandmother, in Malayalam, where my dad's family is from, and that song specifically was kind of like a homage to her, and sampled her voice. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Do you feel the same?
Do you want us to hold? Is that easier?
No.
Okay.
You
can use it like a mic. Yeah, I guess in the same way. I think, you know, we're all inspired by, like, background and also just what we grew up listening to, what we've discovered over the years.
And what are you listening to these days?
These days? I ran to the new Charlie XCX this morning. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
We saw her the other night at Primavera. All sorts of things, like, all the time. I don't know. And yeah, sometimes, like, the last flight I was cycling back to older music, some jazz that I used to listen to like 10 years ago, and much more.
Jesse Ree came here like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like, with a jazz ensemble.
You did that, we did.
It's your return.
Yeah, we played some. Yeah, we played some jazz by. Some jazz by a Moorish like castle, and we were in Lisbon and Algarve or Algarve.
Yeah, we have a lot of castles.
It was a very special trip, but nice to be here for the first time as the band, and yeah, we're excited for Porto.
So it's your first time in Porto.
As a band in Portugal.
Wow. So I read that The Bug is a song that existed. It's an old song. So I wonder if you have lots and lots of old songs that you seldomly go to. I mean, and it's a custom.
Yeah, it's a process where it's like The Bug. We tried to record, I think, for Icemill, maybe even for Jinx and Crushed as well on the album. And there are ones that we recorded for this album that didn't feel like they were ready, hit right, however you want to say it, and then we'll like revisit them again in the future and write new things. So it's kind of cool that, yeah, some things are like new from the last year or two, and some of these songs have been around for like 5-6 years.
Really?
And it's also interesting, I think it seems like some people felt that when listening to it, but in like a nice way, I think, or from what I've seen anyway, that people had like identified kind of like time period connected like sounds or instruments for us, and it's like, huh, okay, I didn't know that was gonna like come across, but it's nice because I think it gives like variation to the album, and it is nice to know that like if we like all the effort of just working on the music goes somewhere, and if something doesn't end up on like the project we're working on at that time, it goes like maybe it'll be chopped up and reused in a new form later, or like we'll get to record it the way we envisioned it, but it's a nice thing.
What's the starting point usually of your songs? What instrument is key to the beginning of them?
I think a lot of them I start to write kind of on my own with either synth, little weird drum beats on Ableton, or guitar vocals, and that it's like kind of like a baby version of the song usually, And then when we get together, we sort of arrange it and add different instrumentation and fully flesh out the form. But there isn't like a specific instrument I write on necessarily in the beginning. It's just kind of like whatever weird little things I have. And then obviously other songs, we maybe start with like a drum beat or like a keys or, you know, thing. Okay. But there's no formula. There's no one instrument that starts it off.
In a couple of days, I'll be going for the first time to New York. Wow. And I know that you are from Brooklyn. So I'm ask you about the music scene there. What's it like? And if you have any recommendations, some bands, I don't know.
Neela's the only born and bred Brooklynite. No, but I mean, we live there and care very much about it, have family histories there, but Lila's from Brooklyn, yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's so many musicians. That's the craziest thing about New York. It feels like every musician lives there. Like, so it can be overwhelming at times, but there's always something going on. I'm trying to think of a venue or something. Like that, yeah. I like.
What do you like? What kind of music?
I like Chrome.
Chrome.
You know, I feel like I tend to go to like smaller shows. Like I don't really like to go to like the big kind of venues that we would play.
Not into this festival.
No, this is fun to play at.
You like love, and then you go for the act, but not necessarily like you can just wander around. Night, catch a show, catch something else. And then it's cool too, it's refreshing. Like sometimes we get, like if we're on tour for a while, we get home, you want to listen to something different than we've been listening to. Like you can, there's like every world of music exists in New York. Not every, but a lot of people.
Yeah, if you can find a good club show in like Brooklyn or Queens, it's like a couple hundred people and it sounds like a good time.
So you worked with John Scott Sanford and Jonathan Rado. I know Jonathan Rado. What they bring to the songs and to your work?
We've worked with both of them before. John Scott early on in our career, like with the first EPs, and we've known him for a really long time. We were first just recording actually other projects. And then Jonathan Rado came along for Ice Melt, and it was cool to bring them both together for this album. They kind of like work at kind of different sides of the like analog digital spectrum, in that like Jonathan Rado brings like a really fun attitude of like experimentation and knowing how to work and have fun with a lot of like outboard gear and processing and effects of vocals, but all instruments really. And then John Scott Sanford is like a Pro Tools wizard, and like through the production of it, and we mixed it with him, and we also just like have a really close relationship with him now, where he sometimes can just kind of know what we will like, and we can just work really, really detail oriented with him, which like Jonathan Rado is not so much as into. So it's kind of nice because we're really... producing and mixing and recording our own album is really important to us too. So it's like we get to collaborate with both of them, and they help us with those parts of the process.
Yeah, I feel like Rado is like a purist, and John Scott was like by any means necessary kind of thing. So like those pulled in good directions, I think. Yeah.
And do you also yourselves balance it out to yourselves in the same
There's
good way?
There's a lot
way?
Of opinions among the six of us.
Is there a boss?
I think just us. Like, we're kind of like in the director's chair, and they're like resources, and we're just collaborating with them. And sometimes it can be a lot of opinions, but we're trying to get better at kind of just streamlining it and not thinking about it too much.
And what dreams collaborations would you
love to?
We just did one with Melody's Echo Chamber, which was like kind of our first collaboration as a band with someone. But yeah, I always think that collaboration should happen kind of naturally and not forced. So I can't think of, I can't be like
a different kind of collaboration, but we've been talking about like it would be fun to do some sort of thing with film or like scoring and making music for a film. We've never done that before. It's like different projects, different kinds of collaborations, like with maybe directors or yeah.
So tell us about the Crumb Records.
I have a doubt. Crumb Records only puts out your records.
We are Crumb Records.
You are Crumb Records, of course. But why did you create the Crumb Records? Is it because of to have liberty and control?
Yeah.
Since the beginning, we've been like really fortunate to have success and to also have people we work with, like our agents and managers and like even all the visual artists, where it's kind of like an a la carte thing where we just form close relationships with these people and work with them for like years. So it's kind of an extension of that thought and maintaining ownership of our music, because that's what makes sense. Yeah.
And did you ever thought of Crumb Records releasing for other small bands?
Could be cool, but it's also a lot of work, and it's like us doing a lot of the work that the normal record label would do, but never say never, you know?
You know, because I work in a radio station, I have to categorize music all the time for people to, you know, get an overview very fast of the music. Is it something that you don't like when radio hosts just tend to put you in small boxes, which I do?
What's your, how would you?
Oh no, I dreaded this question because I knew that would come.
No, we need help.
No, what? No.
We never know what to say.
No, but to answer your question, it's not, I don't think it's something we fear so much, yeah. Because it's like, I think people can, yeah, people can hear a bunch of like aspects of our music and they're totally right. So there's not like, yeah, it's very hard. And I think now in like music making terms more than ever, it's like everyone is so influenced by like many kinds of music. It's like kind of impossible to avoid being exposed to tons of like information and music. But yeah, I think there's nothing like, you know, nothing crazy about taking those aspects and pointing at them in the music. But for us, it's like, I think we struggle with like putting a label on it.
Me too. Fun about the project that we like straddle a bunch of genre lines and like different influences, and I think our fans feel that and they're kind of like down to go along for the ride.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just two small questions. Advice to young musicians. Well, your reality is different from ours, but imagine that this young guy is studying at a university and he wants to start a band, and well, Portugal is different from the States. But what advice would you give a young aspiring musician to become sort of crumbiest?
I guess to use it as like to have a good relationship with yourself. And that sounds kind of silly, but sometimes I feel like it's like closing a loop with myself in the best case scenario. So just to look for that feeling, I think you'll end up in a good place.
I wouldn't make the music while thinking about putting it out. I would just make it first, and then once you find something that feels right, you could put it out. But a lot of people try to ask kind of like, how do you gain success? And it's like, you do something that's true to yourself, and people believe it. So, yeah.
No, I just say just keep at it for the process itself.
Okay, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.